Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you this morning to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
If my life in God's eyes is worth redeeming, then so is everyone else's. No matter how vile we think they are, no matter what pit they've dug themselves in, no matter what kind of rebellion they're walking in, God is a God of redemption. God bought us with this price. And the way that we reflect this redemptive work is that we cease our condemnation of others.
Living on everywhere.
Living on Every Word.
We've been talking about imitating our great God. And one of the passages of scriptures we've been looking at is in Matthew that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ saying that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom. And when we come into this life, we come needing redemption. There's relationships that need redemption. There's lifestyles that God looks at that are horrible, but yet sees a life worth redeeming. And that's what Christ did to us. He redeemed us. The question is, will we imitate that redemption? Will we look at people and say, their life is worth redeeming because of what Christ did 2,000 years ago? If my life in God's eyes is worth redeeming, then so is everyone else's. No matter how vile we think they are, no matter what pit they've dug themselves in, no matter what kind of rebellion they're walking in, God is a God of redemption. God redeems us. God bought us with this price. And the question that we're asking is, will we walk in that same redemption by reflecting the redemption of God? Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, what is condemnation? Condemnation is an adverse sentence. It's a sentence and a punishment. It's a judgmental and critical sentence on your life. And when God says, when you came to Him through Christ, you no longer had this sentence upon you. You had a new sentence, and that sentence is a commendation, not a condemnation. It is a commendation. God commends you to Himself, and He no longer condemns you. And the way that we reflect this redemptive work is that we cease our condemnation of others. We cease the critical spirit. We cease the judgmental spirit. No matter what's happened in your life and no matter what the person has done to you. And you know what? Some of us grow up, we're children, and we get hurt by the closest people to us. And we don't even realize we're walking in the hurt or the condemnation or the bitterness. But I want to tell you, Jesus came to redeem you and to redeem your life from the pit and to redeem you from all condemnation. The question is, will we cease condemning? This past week, my dad and I were having lunch with Mike Martin. And Mike Martin was speaking to us about the message last week and how this point that we talked about last week on redeem from condemnation spoke to him as it related to his relationship with his alcoholic father growing up. Watch this interview.
My name is Mike Martin. I was raised by a very abusive and violent alcoholic father who was never there for us, who I remember drunk more times than I remember sober. I remember being very afraid as a little boy. I remember not having a safe place. It wasn't safe at my house. And I was the oldest of four. And I learned to act out very early to, I guess, get in the way of my father's anger and to keep him from being abusive to my mom and to my brothers and sisters. And got abused pretty heavy, pretty hard. It was a hard life. It was a hard time. I grew up very angry. I grew up very fast. I grew up very hard. And didn't enjoy life very much. I tried to overachieve in everything I did to get my dad's validation, for my dad to see me and to be proud of me. And he didn't participate in anything. He never came to any of my sports. He didn't come to school awards banquets. He didn't come to graduation ceremony. He didn't come to my wedding. He didn't come to the birth of his first grandchild. He was just absent. And I just became very angry and very bitter over the years. And I remember back in probably my early teens, laying in bed at night, trying to figure out how to kill my dad, to get him out of our life, that it would probably be better for me to be in jail and my mom and two brothers and my sister be safe than the abuse that took place. I remember my dad tearing parts off the car motor so my mom couldn't leave. I remember my dad eating dinner with a loaded .357 by his plate, just a reminder that mom wasn't going to sneak out of the house with us. Many plates of food sailed through the windows or through the china cabinets and holes in the walls, and just a pretty devastating place, lots of patchwork done. I really hated my dad, and thinking about this, I just thought about something the other day, that my dad was my biggest enemy. Of all the people in the world ever in my life, he was my enemy. Got out of the house as soon as I could, got a job, got away from my dad, but carried a whole lot of anger, and carried it over to my family when I was married and have two children. I carried my anger to them. I never was physically abusive, but I was verbally abusive, and I was absent. I worked a lot, trying to fill an emptiness that I had. You know, I thought a paycheck was going to do that, or thought alcohol was going to do that. It never did. It was always still a void. And, you know, I guess several years ago when God got a hold of my life, and, there was a lot of cleaning up to do. And I found out when I was 38, I'm 44 now, I found out when I was 38 that this man that raised me wasn't my father at all, that my mother was 3 months pregnant when they met. And that was a crushing blow. It was just a devastating time. I didn't understand all that was going on. There was a lot of problems in my marriage, in my business. There was just problems everywhere. There was just problems. But I look back now and see that God was just cleaning the house up. He was showing me, things were being revealed to me. And it was a hard time in my life, but it was a good time. Looking back, it wasn't good during that, but looking back, it was necessary. Through a lot of prayer and a lot of thinking and a lot of contemplating about my relationship with my dad, I really wanted a relationship with him, but I struggled because I still hated him. I didn't know how to love him. I didn't have a bit of love for him, so my prayer was is that God would give me one reason to love him. And when I was speaking once at prison, God had asked me while I was in the middle of talking, two conversations are going. One's coming out of my mouth and one's going on in my head. And God is asking me how many times that I had spoken something that I wish I hadn't said when I was drunk. And many times I had said things that I regret. And then I thought about my dad, and I thought about, you know, God reminded me that my dad had never told me that I wasn't his son. That in his own way, in his own brokenness, he loved me as best as he could. And I could see that he didn't treat me any different than he treated his very own. And he even gave me his first name. You know, both of our first names is Richard. And I just thought about that recently. You know, I mean, a guy that knows that he's not my dad still gives me his first name. You know? My prayer was that God would give me one reason to love him, and for that reason that he never said that to me. Even though life wasn't easy, he never said that. And I fell in love with my dad. And I began to pray for him. And I began to ask God to build a relationship. And I realized that I asked God not to change my dad, but I asked him to change me, change my heart. Because for so many years I had condemned my dad, and I'd spoke curses over him, and I'd spoke death over him. And when I began to speak life over him and be able to bless him and honor him and respect him as my dad, not always agreeing with what he did or what he said, but just respecting him as my father, my dad stopped drinking. And he had drinking all his life since he was 15 years old. And when he was 68 years old, he stopped drinking, and he hasn't drank since. And we have a great relationship. We have a wonderful relationship. I love my dad very much. He shows up at my place of business and just serves me and sweeps or vacuums or fixes a roof or cleans up around the dumpster. He just does things he just does stuff. Washes my truck, changes the oil, just serves me. And I love him. It's incredible how God has restored our relationship. I've tried to explain to people who are walking where I've been. They don't understand, but I don't feel the pain anymore. It's not there. I see my dad. Just the other morning, he was walking through the warehouse, and I caught him out of the corner of my eye walking by. And I looked, and he didn't see me look, but my heart jumped. And I was like, that's my dad. It's just wonderful. It's incredible what God has done in our life and how He has changed my heart and how He's drawn us closer together. The greatest honor I believe I've ever had in my life is on October the 11th in 2005 in the parking lot of the store. I got to pray with my dad to receive Christ. And that was unbelievable. It was from my biggest enemy to one of my greatest loves is my relationship with my dad, and I am grateful. I am so grateful to God for restoring that and changing me. The key was not asking him to change my dad. It's asking him to change my heart, because it was my heart, I believe, that held my dad down for so long. It was my condemnation and the painful, hurtful things that I said to him and the way I treated him held him captive. Now I can pray for him and love him, and our issues are resolved. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about him, that I don't look forward to seeing him and spending time with him and hugging him. and just having a good time together visiting, and it's wonderful. Life is good. Looking back on all of it, from where I was to where I am now, from the abuse and the violence to where God has me now and the relationship that I have with my dad, I have friends that have great relationships with their dads, and then I have friends that have just the okay relationship, just the best left unsaid things, you know, and it's just real flat. I would go through everything again, everything, to have what I have now, to not have a mediocre, a mundane relationship with my father. I have an incredible relationship with my dad. My heart swells. I love him so much. You know, to grow up for so many years and to not love your dad, to hate him, and now finding this love, it's incredible. Just to hear some of the other men talk about their great relationship they have with their father, I didn't know what that meant. And I know that now. My love for him is so deep. And, you know, he's over 70 years old now. And God has made up the gap. Our days are sweet. Getting this relationship right with my dad has affected everything in my life in a positive way. It's affected my marriage, my relationship with my children. It's affected my business, ministry, any area of my life. It has allowed me to go back and right some other wrongs. If the biggest wrong, the biggest wrong thing in my life can be fixed and my heart can be changed about that with my dad, then all the little things that have happened in my life too, it's allowed me to go back and apologize to some people that I had taken advantage of when I was younger, and to get on the right track with everybody in my life. This is something that I couldn't see ever working out. I never could see that this was possible. And I know that God does love me, and I know through Him all things are possible. That this is nothing that I did. It's something that I wanted, and I believe that God will give you the desires of your heart. Mine started out as a simple prayer of, God, this man that I hate, give me one thing to love about him. And it went from one thing to love about him to absolutely falling in love with him.
You know, there's something about this whole law of condemnation. A law of condemnation versus the law of acceptance and blessing. And the attitude that we have toward those things that are fractured in our lives, those things that are not right in our lives, that Jesus Christ comes to make it right. He comes to make it right in our soul. He comes to make it right in our relationship with Him. He comes to make it right with our relationship with people, whether it's the worst enemy or our best friend. To cease condemning, to cease the judgment, to cease it and to begin to say, God, even if it means, God, just give me one reason to love this person. Show me one thing that's lovable about this. When I don't see anything lovable, when I don't see anything redeemable about this thing or this person or this relationship, just give me one thing that I can hold on to so that I can pursue what you've pursued in my life. I'm going to find one thing to love about it. Because I want this relationship with Him that I've never, ever had. Do you know what the law of condemnation does? First of all, your condemnation will reveal your own heart. It will reveal what's in your heart. If you are a person given to condemnation, given to judgment, given to a critical spirit, it will reveal what's in your heart. Turn to, if you would, Romans 2, verses 1 and following, and notice this principle here. He says, you have no excuse. Verse 1, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, watch, you condemn yourself. Because you who judge practice the same things. Here was a condemnation coming out of a young boy's life, a young man's life, a middle-aged man now. And yet he would see by his testimony that he would struggle with anger. He would struggle with bitterness. He would struggle with alcohol. He would struggle in his life while pointing the finger at his father. Same kind of root. But that wasn't the root. The root was the bitterness and the anger. And I want to tell you this. You could have a drunkard for a father and mother and never pick up a drink, but still have the same root that they had. Because I want to tell you, every drunkard's root is bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. And that's what brother walked in. And as he judged and as he condemned his father, he was practicing the same thing, and the condemnation came back on him. And he'll tell you that. How life was a mess because of how he responded, even when he knew better as a believer and as a Christian, he responded in that same anger. And he became, in many ways, a chip off the old block. The thought is that the power came when he decided to forgive and quit condemning. Started blessing. And when he began to do that, guess what happened? The roots started being pulled out. The junk started cleaning out his life. And everything attached to that root, anything attached to the root, what does it do when you pull the root? It dies. That's what it does. That's why you can't just go cut off drunkenness. You've got to get the root out. The root has to come out of your life. And that's what the root is. The scripture speaks of this root of bitterness that springs up and defiles many. Ask yourself the question, do I live a life of condemnation? And then ask, God, would you reveal my own heart? I think he just did. If you condemn your dad, condemn your mom, condemn your son, condemn your son-in-law, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law. The condemnation that you heap in the critical spirit of your heart toward them reveals something deep within your own soul. And it ought to be something that ought to get a red flag going and saying, oh God, what just came out of my life toward that person in condemning them and judging them. Now, hear what I'm saying. There is a line of discernment of the sin and the strongholds in people's life, but it never gives you an excuse to condemn them and to walk in a critical, bitter, unforgiving spirit. If you've got bitterness and unforgiving toward that person, you've got a spirit of condemnation upon you, and you've got to cease it. It reveals your own heart. It reveals what's inside of you and what comes out of you. Some say, I'll never be like my dad. I'll never be like my mom. Well, you might not be the drunkard, but you've managed by your anger to in many ways look just like him. Your harshness or your bitterness or your fractured relationship. And what a key prayer is, God, change me and not my dad. Change me and not my husband. Change me and not my wife. Change me, God. Change me. Change your heart, he'll change everybody else's around you. Got to cease the condemning. Got to cease the judgment, the critical spirit, and walk in the forgiveness that God's called us to walk in, that we talk of so much. Because folks, when I condemn, I can't make it right. I can't make it right. And you know what happens is the relation will never be restored, and that condemnation will often hinder that change in the other person's life. Do you remember in John chapter 8? Go on and turn to John 8. We've looked at this passage in different contexts, but I look at this passage of Scripture of this prostitute brought to Jesus, this adulterous woman, and I hear his words to her. Verse 2, early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach. And the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, verse 4, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act." Now the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say? They were saying this, testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to him, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Let you be the first to condemn. Let you be the first to judge. Let you be the first to walk in condemnation, unforgiveness. Let you be the one to pass the sentence if you're without sin. You go on and throw the first stone. When they persisted in asking, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. He was left alone, and the woman, where she was in the center of the court, and straightened up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. But God, I was just caught in adultery. I don't condemn you. God, I just stole. I don't condemn you. God, I just wasted my paycheck on drunkenness. I don't condemn you. Now watch this. Go. And from now on, sin no more. Get your stuff right and get out of this junk and stop sinning. The very first word for repentant life is, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. You need to hear the word that says, we don't condemn you. I'm not going to be the one to judge you. Because, listen, when you stop condemning, you're going to start seeing change. You're going to start seeing change in your sons and your daughters. You're going to start seeing change in your marriage, with your relationships. You know, the Scripture says in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life, power of the tongue. That what you say and what you plant and speak into people's lives has great power to destroy or to bring great life. What is it that you want to do? How is it that you desire to live? How is it that you desire to see God come through? And I want to tell you this, and Mike shared this with me. We were talking the other day, and he made this statement. I'm going to read it to you. It says, when it comes to your heart or mind that a relationship is fractured, it falls on you to attempt to make it right and see the relationship redeemed. And when a relationship is redeemed, it'll be better than it ever was. Because that's God's redemption. So I'm going to ask you to do something right. I'm going to ask you to think about right now. Maybe you don't even have to. You know it. It's a fractured relationship in your life. Who is it? I'm going to tell you. I believe this because the Bible says if you're presenting your offering, someone has something against you, you go make it right. Or attempt to. If you know of the fractured relationship, you need to go and begin to make that right. Quit speaking the judgment, the condemnation. Ask God for your own forgiveness. And don't ask God to change him or her. Ask God to change you. Watch God work. Cease the condemnation and you'll begin to see the work of God flow through your life, in your life, as a vessel of change.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.